In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Remember Solomon. Solomon was King David's son, one of his sons. And there was much strife as to who was going to take over after David died. Now David, by the Lord's word, by the word of the prophets, chose Solomon. Solomon was anointed and chosen. But the rest of David's sons were disobedient, angry, and sought to kill him, even in his own life. And the way in which Solomon was chosen was unique. He was set apart by Prophet Nathan, went to the springs of the Gihon, which is right next to Jerusalem. Now it's in Jerusalem. He was anointed and he came into Jerusalem with the crown, with the scepter, with great joy, with welcoming, and he was riding on a donkey. Solomon entered Jerusalem as a king. As a king with the sword in one hand, the scepter in another, and a crown on his head to rule over God's people with power. We heard a few weeks ago about the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right, kingdom of power and the kingdom of grace. Kingdom of power uses strength, the strength of man's arm, uses force to control sin and to bless the good. He came in, the King of Peace, to establish peace and to continue it. And he did. He defeated David's enemies, his own enemies, and he became the wealthiest king of Israel. And in his day and age, Israel was at its greatest strength. Jesus also entered into Jerusalem as a king. It was his choice to enter into Jerusalem on a donkey, just like Solomon. Solomon then was a type of Christ. But Jesus did not enter with a sword. He did not enter with a scepter in his hand or a crown on his head. And he did not enter to establish a kingdom of power with armies to subdue those unrighteous heathen throughout the world, to defeat the Romans, to defeat the pagans, to force everyone to trust him or die. He entered as a king, but a king of grace, a king who would win salvation and who would establish a kingdom that was not made up of riches of gold and the power of weapons, would be one of grace and mercy, the forgiveness of sins, and an eternal hope. He entered into Jerusalem carrying nothing. He went to his throne wearing a crown of thorns and not of gold. And he did not ride into the temple. He did not ride into Jerusalem to take over the government, but he rode and entered into the temple, not on the donkey, as the king who would be the new temple. For this kingdom that our Lord, our King, establishes is one not of this world. We do have to do a little bit of study and a little bit of teaching, because we don't have a king. We haven't had a king in hundreds of years in the United States of America. So we kind of, when we think of a king, we kind of sneer. Who needs a king? We, the people, rule this nation, yet we pay taxes. So we rule the nation through other people that we have chosen. But a king must rule with power. He must assert his authority and his charisma and his strength over the people around him, or no one will follow him. No one will trust him. So think of this king who lets his enemies throttle him, who lets his enemies mock him and spit on him, who lets his enemies drag him to the cross, carrying the very instrument of his death. But remember, one of the few things that our Lord says when he was being grilled, when he was being interrogated, was to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. For if it was, my servants would have risen up. But they did not." The kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It is a different type of kingdom, but it is one. Because in this kingdom of grace, there is no promise of temporal present relief. There is no absolute promise, "Trust me, and you'll have food on your table." Jesus does not say that. We know food comes from him, and we give thanks to him when it comes. But that is not the first and final promise, is it? There is no promise that we won't get sick, that the doctors won't fail, that the enemies of our nation won't come and destroy us. That is not the promise of the King of Grace. He doesn't even promise that it will be easy in any way to be one of his subjects. He doesn't promise food, peace, health, wealth, prosperity. None of those things are promised with this king. On top of that, we struggle even with our own ability to remain in this kingdom and to trust him. He doesn't even promise, "You'll have no problem trusting me. Even though everything will be taken away, you will remain steadfast." He doesn't say it like that. In the midst of persecution, we want out. When we're struggling to find a new job, we want to be done. When we're struggling with our temptations of the flesh, and we want to be rid of this temptation, we pray to the Lord and he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." No. For the kings of this world, the rulers of this world, must have wealth. They must have riches in order to rule. Especially the kings. Think of King Solomon. The only way that he would be able to care for his people was if he had cash, if he had gold. Then he could distribute it and care for his people. He could trade with the other nations because he was the one that was given the care over all the people. So that means under the King of Grace, there is no promise of gold, whatever that gold is to you. But he does distribute something to us. He is not a king who establishes his kingdom and runs away. He is a king who distributes something far more worthwhile, something eternal. Something that we can cling to when all else fails, when the kingdom of power is not powerful enough. Remember when he was baptized, he said, "It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Christ came as our king to win a kingdom for us by his righteousness. And that is not just by his doing what is good and right, but also giving us his own goodness. that he paid for our sins, that he won for us salvation is what he gives us. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So that the kingdom of God is in the midst of you because you are in Christ. You are baptized into his name. The forgiveness of sins keeps you, binds you in this kingdom. It is by grace that you remain, and it is by grace that you came in, and it is by grace that you will endure. For though Christ, before the world, before our experiences, before our own senses, Christ was the weakest and most impoverished king of all. What king can accomplish anything in poverty? He can't. He's laughed at, he's mocked, and he's not trusted. But this king, he became poor, impoverished of life, of his father's presence, of hope. He became impoverished so that we would become rich. So that in his least, when he lost, when it seemed that he was at his weakest, that is the crown of our king. That is the anointing, the crowning of our Lord. For in his weakest, in his poverty, we have a righteousness, we have a treasure that will last us into eternity. Now, this kingdom, being one of grace and not of power, is something that we struggle with because it's not tangible. We can't count the number of people who are in this kingdom. We know where it's found because he says, where he is preached, where his word is found, where his name is given in baptism, that's where the kingdom of God is found. So we run to that. We run to him for refuge. We run to where his righteousness is offered. We know that the kingdom of God is found where he is. And that those who follow with us, who walk alongside us to the same place, seeking the same things, are known by him. We know that the people that he has called to himself are known, are engraved on his hand. He forgets not his own, and he will know them until death and into life. So while this kingdom is one of grace and not of power, power will fade away. Strength does not last. Kings and rulers and political parties will come and go. The language that we speak may change in this nation over the next centuries, but there is a treasure, a king who will never pass away, who endures through all things, and whose righteousness is distributed in the same way to every generation, in every tribe and language and peoples until he returns. That's a king that we can trust. In the name of Jesus, amen.